starting a little bit later, but we do have a bit of leeway in our programme, so we won't be running too late. And I'm really glad to see some colleagues here, students, friends who made it 10 a.m. in the morning. So I'm going to do sort of a short introduction, and I'm not going to talk too much, but I'd like to show you something, just, you know, so that the morning will be relaxing, and we'll have some visual material, and then we're going to have three presentations, which I will introduce the speakers. And by way of introducing this symposium, I wanted actually to outline very briefly three sets of ideas which have inspired and informed me while I was organising this event. And we might want to take some of them up for further discussion, but that's not a problem either. Now, the first idea, or the concept, is a concept of common differences, which is part of our title. The title for the current event was borrowed from the debates around issues of representation and knowledge production in the third world post-colonial feminist. And in fact, there has already been a conference with the same title in 1983, Common Differences, Third World Women and Feminist Perspectives, which took place in Urbana, Illinois, United States. Chandra Mohanty, one of the most well-known figures of the third world feminist, was also helping to organise this event, and she wrote about the conference in her essay on the westernised visited feminist solidarity through anti-capitalist struggles. I quote, "This conference allowed for the possibility of a decolonised, cross-border feminist community and cemented for me the belief that common differences can form the basis of deep solidarity and that we have to struggle to achieve this in the face of unequal power relations among feminists," unquote. In her theoretical work, Mohanty had underlined the necessity for a shared frame of reference among feminists without losing the focus on the particular, the attentiveness to both the micropolitics of context, subjectivity, and struggle, and to the macropolitics of global economic and political system and processes. In Under Westernized Visited, she also discusses different models of feminist pedagogy. As an example of inclusive approach, she names comparative feminist studies as feminist solidarity model, which sets up a paradigm of historically and culturally specific common differences as the basis for analysis of solidarity. So one of the tasks of feminist knowledge production, whether it happens in the format of academic theory or curatorial work, which is also a knowledge production after all, is to continue to look for common sets of concepts and common questions which could contribute towards common theoretical projects or political and activist alliances. And this is the reason why I wanted to choose that notion as the first part of the title for this conference. Now, the second set of problems which I wanted to address echoes the issues that have been also mentioned both in the feminist debates, and this is the unequal relationship of different feminists. The problem and power of inequality between different feminists has played quite a significant role in shaping the self-identity and critical agendas of feminist studies in Eastern Europe. Next autumn, there will be a conference in Stockholm, Sweden, which will be dedicated to the analysis of East and Central European feminist and gender studies from this particular point of view. I quote, "More than two decades after the dismantling of the Iron Curtain, the space referred to as the Second World is carved in a cartography of absences. As Eastern Europe, the site represents the second other of Europe, less European. The subaltern Eastern proposition alternates between self-othering and hyperstatization as the better Europe," end quote. As the organizers of this Swedish conference in their call claim, such unequal and asymmetrical relationship has also often characterized encounters, whether they are, you know, cultural encounters, theoretical encounters, and cooperations between Western and Eastern European feminists. It is being argued, indeed, many times before, that in the field of feminist knowledge production, East European feminists have been often relegated to reporting on their situation in in other countries to working with particular and context-specific only, without making much impact on the development of feminist philosophy and theory. And this asymmetrical relationship between Western and Eastern European feminists may seem as replication of the, I quote, male-female order between the theoretical and the empirical, end quote, thus contributing toward what the organizers of the Swedish conference described as an epistemic void. Now, such claims, of course, have been made in other disciplines, and I would like to refer here to the text by our Czech colleague, art historian Martina Bachmanova, which was published in The Reader and in the catalogue of the Gender Czech Exhibition. And in this text, she undertakes a complicated task of analysing the position of feminist art discourse in Eastern Europe and asking after the reasons of its marginal status in the globally distributed feminist knowledge. After having pointed out some external forces and conditions which did not favour the interest in feminist thought developed in Eastern Europe, such as the post-colonial dimension of current feminists as well as art debate, or the geographic location of the centres of art production, she comes to a somewhat disturbing conclusion. So far, East European feminist artists, curators and theorists, she says, have failed to articulate a collective platform in order to vocalise their position and different historical experience with similar strengths as the Third World feminists have managed to do. As a result, she says, Eastern European feminist discourse in art is often seen as a myriad of individualised, fragmented and nationally specific voices rather than a geopolitically defined discourse with multiple voices and positions within global feminism. Now my question is, why am I talking about this here? What do we do with this past or also present? I mean, what do we do with these processes of marginalisation and self-marginalisation of Eastern European feminist voices? Do we still find it necessary to identify and develop regional histories as identities, which then should be represented in global feminists? And what does it actually mean to learn to speak for ourselves, as Bachmanova suggests? Is it merely a question of representation of the region and its history? Or should it in fact relate to more acute problems of unequal distribution of power and wealth on the global scale? And if we take into account the latter context, then, you know, maybe it's not true and maybe some people want to dispute this, but it seems to me that the majority of women living in ex-state socialist countries appear in this context as part of the privileged world because they share at least partially the benefits of the modernized Western lifestyle. So this is the so-called one-third world as opposed to two-third worlds. So how does this realization can actually inform feminist curating as a political fact? So this is one of my questions. And finally, we arrived in Estonia. And my paraphrase of the earlier mentioned conference title, Is There a Feminist Happiness in Estonia?, is triggered by the following realization. During the two decades of the second independence, there has been no radical change in the public opinion about the male domination that runs through the society and value systems in endless, internalized, and unconscious ways. Not to deny the presence of dissenting voices and recently even some dissenting political forces, such as the Social Democratic Party, which recently announced its commitment to gender equality, I can say that our economic, social and political life are strongly dominated by men, and this situation also receives a significant amount of public support. Now, I'm not proposing that we should spend much time, or any time, in fact, on voicing our complaints about working, you know, about the workings of local patriarchy. However, what I want to perhaps tell the guests, rather than, you know, the local people know it all, but I'd like to inform the guests about some sort of context. And I think we should know and remember the following, that there is no gender studies program in any Estonian university. As far as I'm aware, the concept of gender equality does not feature in any way in any general education programs. That the recently elected Estonian parliament has merely 20% female MPs, and our new government has one female minister and 12 male cabinet members. And that the gender pay gap, I want to point out, and our guests to know, is that the gender pay gap in Estonia is the biggest of all European Union countries. It's approximately 30%, but I just yesterday read the figures, it's 30.9%. So we're talking about 31% of gender pay gap, which is the biggest. And also, according to recent poll conducted in the member states of the OECD, the Estonians show the least tolerant attitude towards any minorities. So this list of feminist grievances, of course, can be continued. Now, the unhappiness about the current situation may potentially function as a trigger for generating a critical response. Also, again, I have to tell our guests that there has been much discussion in Estonian media about the paradoxical fact that the worsening of socioeconomic condition has had no effect of shaking Estonian people into acts of resistance, that they have been shaken out of their complacency. As opposed to so many other European countries, in Estonia there have been no major demonstrations or no major criticism against the austerity measures which were introduced here much earlier than anywhere else. So I hope that the field of cultural activity will prove different in this sense. And I would like to finish with hopeful thought that perhaps transforming our feminist unhappiness into creative and constructive practices may help us to think of the new science for feminist future and curatorial practices, as well as to think how to engage with the social fabric in new ways, in some ways which we haven't been able to see so far. I welcome everybody and wish you all productive and inspiring 2 days. Thank you. And now we have a sort of second part of my very short introduction, which will be a 90-minute feature film, so everybody can relax before we start the serious work. And the feature film is by Estonian artist Marga Monko, who is also sitting in the audience. Marga, can you please show us yourself? Yes. And this feature film is entitled Shaken, Not Stirred, which some of you might recognize as a reference to James Bond phrase, Shaken, Not Stirred. And I chose this film because I think it's a really poignant and interesting summary of the economic and social transformations that have shaped Estonian post-Soviet transition. And now we've just watched this 90-minute long film. If you have comments or questions to the artist, to the author of the film, we will have them actually in the afternoon when we have the Baltic session, which has plenty of time and we can sort of incorporate it there, and Marga agreed to join our panel in the afternoon. So, thank you.